Good afternoon, Radio Statler. I am your host of the show, Cable Flame. Joining me here is Kyle and Gila, yes. I need to get... people are stealing my headphones. I need a pair of headphones. Kyle, if you'll grab a different pair here. We are here today with a presentation on the standpoint of a newbie at a HackerCon.
A brand newbie.
Gila, if you can get closer to the mic, that would be wonderful.
Testing, 1, 2.
That would be good. No, Java, I do not want to install a new version right now. How about you ask me later?
Death, taxes, and Java updates.
Read the room, Java. Now's not the time.
Yes. We also have here, I don't know if Gila and Kyle know this, joining us on the internet on IRC. Remember IRC, everybody? Joining us on IRC in the Radio Statler channel, we are going to have people live here talking with us.
Oh,
you can
fantastic.
Ask us questions and stuff like that.
That's so
say hi to everyone out there in internet land.
Greetings, IRC.
Ah.
There we go.
Someone asks, Kyle, where's Cartman? Okay.
Really?
Because you've never heard that before, ever.
Never heard that before.
I'm going to let you two talk.
By the way, my mom thinks the Kyle's Mom's a Bitch song is hilarious.
Well,
yeah. Someone says, no Java, Club Mate. Well, if Club Mate tried to install itself on my computer, I'd be a little freaked just because I've never heard of a software package called Club Mate before. So I'm going to let...
Speaking of beverages...
You're definitely going to need to get closer. That one just isn't that loud.
There's a Four Loko can, like, right next to me, and I didn't know that still existed anymore.
It does still exist.
I thought it was illegal.
They changed the formulation.
Okay.
They changed the formulation.
Okay.
Hopefully you guys will be more awake than the previous guys. Now, I actually crashed for 5 minutes with the previous guys, and they seemed all pretty awake to me.
I am energetic!
So what I'm going to do is, here we're going to have Kyle and Gila talk about their experiences, how they kind of got found out about the hacker community and what brought them to the con, while I pull up my questions here because I don't have them up yet.
Fantastic. Kyle, do you want to kick off or should I?
I can go first.
Okay.
Let's see. I found out about Hope through Cable Flame. She is my sweetie. We have been sweeties for a couple
involved
of years now.
Involved in some way or another.
It was actually just before the previous Hope that we got together, and last time around she showed me around a little via FaceTime, but the experience was done entirely remotely. But what I heard, I was very curious about. I was eager to meet friends of Cable's. I was eager to get more immersed in the culture. I took a little bit of convincing to warm up to the idea that I was indeed a hacker and had the right sort of background and mentality to fit in at the con. I've sort of worked some IT stuff. I've certainly been playing around with computers since birth. And
but as I always say, hacking is not just about computers.
This is true. This is true. It's about, for instance, a friend of mine, when she didn't have a cigarette lighter, lighting her cigarette with a 9-volt battery and a paper clip.
There you go.
That's
hack. Pretty
that's
damn good hack.
Yeah.
Yep. If you could also, let's see here. I've got my questions. Your name, age, and a little about yourself. What about yourself is important to you? And I'm not going to presume it's your job.
As I said, my name is Kyle. I am 32 years old. I am originally from southeastern Virginia. I currently live in northern Virginia. I am a big nerd for a lot of things, including classic rock, jazz, anime, particularly from the 80s, 8 and 16-bit era retro gaming, film, a lot of stuff.
Food.
Food. Definitely food.
Coffee.
I like things that are deep fried.
Yes, you do.
Those are some things that are important to me.
Deep fried food is definitely important to you, yes.
I think deep fried food is important to everybody.
Yes.
Really. Yes.
If there is an audio engineer that is listening into this right now, if they could come in here and adjust his mic to be louder, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
That would be wonderful.
Yes, please.
I would very much appreciate it.
Yes.
Because I have a mouthful of foam right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like her mouth is like on the mic. It's
on
crazy.
The mic.
You might want to try going around
yeah,
and trying one of the other
that's
mics.
Yeah, that's probably a better idea.
Yeah.
Okay, hold
so,
on.
What I'll do is, well, Gila's moving around here. I will say what some of the questions are. How long have you been aware of the existence of the hacker community? How did you hear about Hope? What made you want to come? I presume you look over the schedule in advance. What talks interest you the most?
Is this better? Is this better?
Much.
Okay, fantastic.
This is much better, but now it's harder to see you. And definitely anybody who wants to ask any questions of either Gila or Kyle or me or any of the above can feel free to ask them via the IRC channel. And once again, that is the server irc.2600.net. And the channel is radio-statler.
Okay, I should probably introduce myself, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
this
fantastic.
Is where you introduce yourself.
Introduce myself. So, let's see. My name is Gila. I'm 35 years old. I am a Midwesterner at heart and by birth and by everything, really. I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and have been living in New York for about the last 7 years. What else? How did I get here? Yeah. I got here also via my sweetie. My sweetie is one Rob T. Firefly. And I started hearing about Hope pretty much around the time we began dating. So...
As you may or may not know, out in Radio Land, Rob is one of the main organizers of the convention.
Hey,
so
it's significant for him.
Yep.
So here I am. Let's see. So yeah. This has been a whole new kind of experience for me. I've never been to anything even remotely resembling a HackerCon ever before. So this has been a new weekend of learning experiences the whole time. And let's see, things that are important to me. I love music. I actually, while I'm taking a season off, I do competitive karaoke. So that's pretty fun. And food and pop culture in general, and I have this weird ability, I have really good recall of things that happen on Saturday Night Live, and I mention them on a fairly regular basis. So if you see me around the con, please feel free to challenge me at any time, because I can probably come up with something that is germane at any specific moment.
Awesome.
Can you do the dance that Ashley Simpson did when her background music played the wrong song?
I cannot do the Ashley Simpson jig, unfortunately. or hoedown? She called it a hoedown. I can't do that either. But I can do the face.
Yep. Not bad. Not bad.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. We covered why you hear about Hope. How long have you been aware of the existence of the hacker community?
I've always known that hackers were a thing. I've known that hackers were a thing since I was a little kid, and I remember reading Bloom County, and Oliver Wendell Jones was a hacker, and Oliver Wendell Jones hacked in and changed the headline in Pravda because he could, except he didn't speak Russian well enough, and it was funny. But I used to joke, not used to, I was joking for the past few months that I was going to submit a talk for the conference, and I was going to call it "So You're Dating a Hacker: Conversations with My Mother."
That is actually an interesting talk. I've been at, let's see, this is my sixth Hope that I've been to, and I've never heard anything like that, and I think there's a space for that. Like, I'm serious.
Well,
2 years from now, you might want to consider
it. I only had like 5 minutes of material so far, so I figure in 2 years I can develop it.
Yep, you'll get
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I was like, so yes, I've been aware of the existence of the hacker community, quote unquote, for quite a while, but this is my first kind of hands-on experience with it in this way.
Same here. I remember the 90s. I remember reading Wired magazine. I remember hackers, obviously. It was always kind of an arm's length thing for me. Even though I've been on the internet since back in the relatively early days of the web going mainstream, but I guess from the time that I was getting into computers as a little kid, as the son of a computer programmer, I was kind of doing hacking and didn't really realize it. Like back in the days of the original Macintosh computers, I would go into ResEdit and play around inside the resource forks of the games that I would play and change the strings for the error messages and the sound effects and things like that, and build weird little games with HyperCard, which was the direct ancestor of, you know, what inspired Tim Berners-Lee to make the web in the first place. So I guess I always kind of had that sort of mentality going on, even though I was never really immersed in any kind of culture in terms of the people I knew online or the forums that I took part in.
Excellent, excellent. So, did you guys look over the schedule before you came? I know he did.
I did to an extent. So yes, I guess the answer would be yes.
Okay.
I did.
What talks like interested you the most, either in the format of I'd like to go to this, or I don't know what this is, but it sounds interesting. Like, what is this?
So there were a couple of talks that were being given by people I had met, so I knew I wanted to go to those. And I was very interested in Kit Stubbs' talk.
Okay.
The social engineering panel, for obvious reasons. But yeah, I also knew, like, I used to run conferences. Like, that was my job for a while. And so for me, being in an area like the info desk is always kind of my favorite way to experience an event like this, to get answers, to see everything that's going on, and then to provide information in a way that I can. And it's also, you know, people approach me, and that's great, because I don't like approaching people. So if I can be in a place where that's going to happen, all to the good, and then you can see everything that's going on, because, like, I knew that there was going to be a lot of stuff going on, like, on the mezzanine level. The level of activity going on here is insane. I had no idea. Like, I had absolutely no idea what to expect. Even setting stuff up on Thursday night, seeing, like, all the open area that was going to turn into everything it's turned into, I just had no idea what it was going to be at that time. So, this is insanity.
To those who've never actually been here at the Hotel Pennsylvania, the mezzanine, the main level, will... where everything except for the talks goes on, is enormous. It's absolutely huge. I mean, I'm not good with square footage, but, like, it's just, you know, it takes a couple minutes to walk from the end of one to the other. So, like, it is, you know, not a small space.
I did go through the schedule in advance. I highlighted all the talks that looked relatively interesting. I figured I was going to make it to maybe half of them tops, if that, and I figured correctly.
But you've been going to a lot of talks, I noticed.
A fair number. Not as many as I was kind of hoping to go to, but I've made it to a few of them, and I also, the ones that I haven't been able to go to, I've been watching on the live stream. I kept forgetting that was an option beforehand. Definitely, I was very interested in the torrent of pharmaceutical drug one. That was extremely intriguing. The medical devices one, that was really intriguing. Jason Scott's talk about the Internet Archive. I was looking forward to seeing. There were a lot of them that were intriguing in some way or another. The social engineering panel I had heard tales of, so I definitely wanted to catch that.
And I'd also just like to give a moment to the extraordinary glory that was Hackers Got Talent last night. Because that, you know, as soon as I knew that was on the schedule, I was like, that's totally my jam. And I had no idea what it was. Nobody had any idea what it was going to be.
This is the first year they ever did it.
This is the first year they ever did it. So nobody
I don't even think anyone even heard of it until, like, Friday.
Right.
Like, this might have been a last-minute thing they came up with. Who knows?
Yeah, there was not a lot of advance warning on this one. But it became... As you can hear, I'm in a complete loss for words to explain how crazy it was. And it was fantastic. So... Even stuff that's not necessarily like a talk, like qua a talk, can just be. It was craziness. I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
What happened? Neither Kyle nor I went to it. So. I heard Cheshire Catalyst sang. I had no idea he could sing. And I've known him for years.
There were speed Rubik's Cube solvers. One guy solved a Rubik's Cube in 26 seconds.
Holy crap.
I'm sorry, 25.98 seconds, you should excuse me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So one guy in 25.98 seconds and one guy in 42-something seconds.
Whoa.
Cheshire Catalyst sang a song by Tom Lehrer.
That sounds like Cheshire.
Someone read the Hacker Manifesto. There was a guy who got up, and it was sort of a weird hybrid of, like, stand-up and free association and storytelling. And Jason Scott was like, so you're going to just read us your resume, basically. And that was sort of what happened, and it went on for a really long time.
Did it work, though?
Brought the house down. Like, people would not stop laughing. There was juggling, and there was someone read a chapter of their book. And then it all turned into, like, an impromptu ravey dance party. And it was... It's an event that
I'm
sure,
a little pissed you didn't text me and be like, you need to come to this now!
I could not process a lot of what I was seeing at that point. And I didn't even realize how late it was, either. It was, like, 1:15 by the time.
Yeah, that thing happened at, like, midnight, I think.
It started at midnight. I don't think anybody was expecting it to run an hour and a half like it did. So it is an event that I am sure will be... duplicated, but the energy of last night.
I was going to say,
like,
sometimes you can never capture, you know, like.
And I have a feeling that, like, six people signed up for last night. Six people. And then there was the seventh final participant, the impromptu dance party situation at the end. But I have a feeling that, you know, Hackers Got Talent 2, or whatever it's going to be called in the future, is going to be bigger. And
it's going to be a thing.
It's
going to
be
scheduled and part of become part of
it's
going to
be a thing, and I have a feeling that people are going to start thinking about what they want to do as they make their preparations for the con.
Excellent. I've seen other hacker cons. I've also attended ShmooCon. That stuff that starts out just as like a one-shot, hey, let's do this interesting thing, becomes like a institution of...
Well, I mean, I've heard the tales of Cable Flame and how your third track talk became... an institution.
Yes.
For lack
of
a better word.
Yes. People still think I'm that sex chick. Like, still.
Well.
Notoriety may be the right word for it.
Notoriety maybe. But, like, there are worse things people could think of you as than that sex chick. You know?
It gets a little old being a one-trick pony.
Okay, that's fair. I can understand and respect that.
Especially in that... Sometimes people think that if you're academically interested in sex, it means that you're personally interested in doing sexual things with them, and that can be problematic extremely.
Well, absolutely. There was actually, Kit Stubbs had a flowchart up at the end of their talk that it was like, did I talk to you about having sex with you before, after, or during this con?
Yes, yes.
No, then we're not going to have sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And that...
Or just to come up to you and make, like, sexual innuendo jokes, or it's...
Yeah.
I've never had people like think they could have sex with me, but the sexual innuendo jokes is just like,
Yeah,
more than one trick pony. Thanks, folks.
Yeah, because, you know.
And also, it's like, that was 8 years ago, 10 years ago, like.
That was a really long time ago.
Yeah, it was at the Last Hope. I forget. I was in my 20s too.
Okay. Can I just say, as a newbie to this whole scene, the naming conventions of these events is
incredibly confusing.
Because when you're
talking confusing
about,
to us too.
Like the Hope that happened in 2014.
Yes.
Which I would want to call the Last Hope, but was not the Last Hope.
You have to call it the Previous Hope.
The Previous
because
Hope.
Because Emmanuel likes to fuck with people.
Because the Last Hope was like 2 years before that.
Three,
last
I think.
Last Hope was in 2008. I can't even keep track of
I'm
these
going
things.
To look this up because
is anyone,
I actually want
is,
to
is
know.
Is anyone wearing a Hope? Is anyone in earshot of Radio Statler wearing a the 11th Hope t-shirt, which has all of the footage and information on the back that we need?
Oh, yes. Well, here's the thing. We have Wikipedia.
We do have Wikipedia. This is true.
And
if
I know it's
up
there.
If I recall correctly, the Last Hope, quote-unquote, would have actually been the 6th Hope?
I think it's 7th.
6th or 7th. Because we went over this a couple weeks ago.
I've just lost complete track of the whole thing, and
the Last Hope was in 2008.
Oh, right, because that was when there might have been issues with the hotel.
Yes.
Aha.
Yes, which is why we called it the Last Hope,
okay,
is because we thought it was going to be our Last Hope.
And you're right, it was the 7th one.
Yes, because my first one was the 5th, then you had Hope number 6. So, you mentioned that my third track thing.
Yeah.
Actually, at the 5th Hope, which was the first one I went to, I actually had a third track talk, or panel rather, on women in hacking.
Yes.
Or women in, like, the tech field.
Yes.
Which was my very first time I ever presented anything ever. Was going to be a complete disaster, except for I happened to visit my aunt and uncle who live in the city here beforehand, and she'd presented things, and she's like, so do you have a list of questions? And I'm like, I need a list of questions? It's like, she's like, yes.
You were going to moderate a panel and you didn't have a list of questions? Oh, sweetie.
I was like 22.
I get it.
I was young and stupid.
No, I get it, but like,
I didn't know jack. I just wanted people to get together and talk about women and computing.
Understood.
And stuff.
But like, you know, you need to have a jumping off.
And then, of course, at the end, things got controversial, and then I couldn't get the crowd under control. And,
awesome.
But it was at the very end, at least. It was like the penultimate question I had.
Okay,
so,
well, that's something.
So that was definitely something. And yeah, no. So that was my first time doing anything like that.
Yeah.
And after that talk, because it was like the last talk on Sunday afternoon in there, I started coming up with, for fun, on the whiteboard in the room, a talk on sexuality, and I just started writing out the notes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when the sex talk was born. The next year I did a sex, the next time I did at Hope number 6, I did a sex talk in the third panel, and that one went over like gangbusters and like totally crazy. So I'm like, all right, let me try expanding it and presenting it at the Last Hope, and it was accepted.
So was the 6th Hope, what was that one called?
Hope number 6.
Hope
that
number 6.
That was pretty simple.
Okay. I used to work at an organization where we also had a biennial convention, but we just called it biennial whatever. You know, biennial 1993, biennial 1995. Something
after,
like
they, okay.
But
so
we're not creative.
The first two are creative names. Then you have H2K, which was in 2000. Then you have H2K2.
Okay. I can get behind those.
The people who've been around since those periods, sometimes we'll call the 5th Hope H2K4. You'll hear that.
Okay.
But that's the 5th Hope. Then you have the 5th Hope and the 6th Hope. Then only the Last Hope and the Next Hope are the only ones that screw with the naming convention. After that, then you have Hope number 9, Hope 10, and Hope 11. So
okay, now when was Beyond Hope?
Beyond Hope was the 2nd Hope, and that was in 1997. That was long before my time.
I was in high school.
Yeah, my first hope was the 5th Hope.
Okay.
So that's how all that goes down.
Has there ever been one called Hope Against Hope?
No, I like that idea. But we did have the idea of a new hope after the Last Hope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we honestly didn't know if we were going to be Hope again. And a couple of us were like, it doesn't matter. In 2 years from now, if we have to go and like bring a card table and put it on top of the rubble that the hotel was and have a little, you know, poster board sign that says Hope, and just all of us gather around the card table and talk with each other, we are having our Hope conference here. Like,
that's
we don't
legit.
Care.
No,
I'm glad that didn't have to go down that way.
I'm also glad that didn't have to go down that way, because I can imagine how dangerous that would have been.
Yeah, but
I, you know, Not to sound too, like, overprotective of everything. But, yeah, that would have been super dangerous.
Yeah.
So, especially people showing up at, like, card tables and sleeping bags on a pile of rubble.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been very good.
No. No, it would not.
But let's see here. Let's get back to our questions here.
Yes.
What were you the most excited about before you came? What were you really hoping to get out of this con? What were you expecting the con to be like before the con? Just your general pre-thoughts and impressions before the con.
I had no idea. The big joke, it's not really a joke, actually. It's very true, is that I know that all the things people are saying are in English. I just don't always understand all the words.
I'm the same way.
So the fact that, you know, there was a lot of stuff. Like, there were workshop titles and talk titles that I did not understand in the least. So I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. Honestly and truly, and I'm not making this up in any way, one of the things I was most looking forward to was trying Club Mate.
Okay.
Because I had heard about it.
Okay.
And you were there when it happened.
Yes, I was.
And what did I say? It tasted like licorice and armpits?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was kind of impressed with that description. Had you had mate plain up, straight
yeah,
up before?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Like, and you don't think that tastes like licorice and armpits?
No, because it was also like it was a mint mate.
They make mint now?
Oh,
you mean the other one, not Club Mate. I'm like, yeah. They make mint Club Mate? What?
Oh, no. Like, I had an actual, like, cup of yerba mate tea that had mint in it, and okay. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this, and also, like, when things are carbonated and you don't expect them to be carbonated.
Oh, did he not tell you it was carbonated?
I think he did at one point.
Yeah, it's totally carbonated.
It was just not something.
It's carbonated tea, basically.
It's
carbonated mate tea.
So between, I think, the flavor and the carbonation and everything, it was just not necessarily the taste sensation I had expected.
Nah.
So yes, licorice and armpits.
Are we about to commit the grave sin of hope in saying that Club Mate is overrated?
Well, all I'm going
to say you up on that.
Is that last night we ran out to get food at Cafe R. They had Club Mate in the cooler. I reached 3 shelves up and got a Diet Coke. And this afternoon I had a Diet Coke. Because given the option, if I'm going to drink something carbonated, yes, I would much rather have a Diet Coke. Club Mate was not exactly my jam. And I'm glad I'm saying that inside the walls of Radio Statler. Because
no one can hear us.
No one can see me say that also. I feel like there might be repercussions to that statement.
We'll have to pixel out your face and
witness protection program.
Club Mate is overrated.
Yeah.
Do the voice changing.
Exactly. Like years ago on Murphy Brown when they were like, we'll put a smudge over your face and make you sound like a smurf. I'm sorry, make you sound like a chipmunk. They were trying to explain to somebody how they were going to like blur their identity. Mm-hmm. I was 9. It was great. I still remember it. Yeah, but other things I was excited about were just like...
What 9-year-old watches Murphy Brown?
This 9-year-old, yo. This 9-year-old.
Were you aware of Dan Quayle at age 9?
I was aware of Dan Quayle at age 7, actually. No, I'm lying. I was aware of Dan... Yes, I was aware of Dan Quayle at age 7 because that's when he became the vice president. But yes, when he... That whole Murphy Brown Dan Quayle thing went down. Yes, I was very much aware of that. But see, other things I was expecting about the con, I had like no expectations. I knew it was going to be busy, and I knew it was going to be exciting, and I knew there was going to be a million different things going on. I knew there were going to be people on segways, and I knew that, like, that was all I knew. I knew that there were going to be lots of things I had never seen or heard or experienced before. And okay. Like I said, I do competitive karaoke, and our lead used to meet at a bar not far from here. So I'd walk past the Hotel Pennsylvania a million times, but I'd never actually been inside it. So between, like, going to Pioneer's Bar, shout out to Pioneer's Bar, and, you know, going to Grand Central Station and going to Madison Square Garden and whatever, I'd been by here a million times, but I'd never been inside. So to be at the Hotel Pennsylvania, to be at the con, I had no concept of what it was going to be because I've been to a bunch of conferences and conventions and stuff before, but nothing quite like this. I mean, I don't think anything is quite like this, but nothing in this vein. You know, I used to run conferences for teenagers and other stuff like that. So this is a completely different world. And just the fact that things were going on 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Sanctioned things were going on 24 hours a day. You know, it was great.
It's been so long. What was the question?
The question is, we're talking about your thoughts, expectations, things anxious about, excited about before you came to the con, your before con impressions.
Well, I was kind of worried going in that it might be over my head in terms of the level of technical expertise. I mean, I'm not like an expert on InfoSec stuff by any stretch of the imagination. I wasn't really sure if I was going to fit in, if it was going to be, you know, some kind of elitist, you know, leader than thou kind of culture. I was excited. I was really hoping I was going to learn a lot, that I was going to meet some cool people, but I wasn't really sure exactly what to expect, not having been to a con like this before.
Excellent. So, now, talk a little bit about what you have done over the past couple days.
So, I was the kind of newbie who decided to do stuff. By which I mean, I sat at the info desk for a few hours on Friday. So
I noticed that.
Yeah. So, I came on Thursday. I came here Thursday after work to help set up. And was doing stuff most of the night. And then I left the hotel and went to work on Friday. And then I came back for... came back from work, met a couple people for lunch, and then I was at the info desk for a few hours, and then had dinner and went to sleep. Because also being a Shabbat observant participant in the con, that also added an extra layer for me of stuff I was willing to do, not willing to do, experiences that were open to me and were not outside the bounds of what I'm comfortable doing on Shabbat. So yesterday I went to some talks, and I also had a really good Shabbat nap in the afternoon. I'm sorry, Cory Doctorow, I needed my Shabbos nap. I missed the keto.
It's recorded online.
Fantastic.
Everybody tweeted about it.
I'm sure I could find DVDs if I'm so inclined.
Yep.
I heard talks, and I heard talks. I went to, I think, 4 or 5. Yesterday, and then Hacker's Got Talent. And now here I am, because, you know, I'm definitely an info desk type of person, but the talks I went to were fascinating, and I'm learning a lot of stuff that I probably would never have come across otherwise. And even the end of the talk that was going on right before Hacker's Got Talent, I understood zero of it. Like, literally understood
what
nothing.
Do you remember what talk it was?
It was, there's...
I can look it up if you don't.
It was about, like, facial... I'm not 100% sure, because I came in at the end, but they were talking about, like...
I think it was the one on machine learning algorithms.
It might have been. Mm-hmm. There's something about pictures and emotion tests and something. And, it was interesting, but I legitimately understood zero of the words that were being said around me.
It's like you knew what each word meant individually. Well, at least half of them. But the other ones was just like...
Right. Like, I understand emotion and I understand algorithm, but not necessarily together. And there was one point yesterday I was listening to a talk, and I said to someone, what does API stand for? Because I didn't know.
What does API stand for? I forget.
Application Programming Interface.
Ding, 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 ding. And a cookie for Kyle. There
Hooray.
We go.
Mystery biscuits.
Tom Scott fans up in this
house.
Up in this piece. It's all good. It's all good.
Love him.
Yeah. So just learning a lot and seeing new stuff and finding out a new acronym every once in a while.
That's always fun.
This is what we
I'm
do.
Looking up what was last... So it would have been what room?
In the Nether room.
Nether room?
Nether.
That would be CAPTCHAs, Building and Breaking.
Yeah.
Yesterday last.
Yeah.
You know what a CAPTCHA is.
I do know what a CAPTCHA is.
You've used CAPTCHAs.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I've used them. I have seen them. I have refreshed them a few times because sometimes I
You can't make out what they say most of the time.
Not even a little.
And apparently they're getting it so that the machines can read them, but you can't now. And it's just like...
Yeah. Although the thing that it kind of reminds me of in a very weird way, and I told you, I have this weird Saturday Night Live thing that I can just do. And when you get like a CAPTCHA and you can have it tell you what it says... It does sort of remind me of, there was a Celebrity Jeopardy sketch in the late 90s, and the category was continents, and there was an audio daily double, and they go, name this continent, and this voiceover just goes, Asia. And all you needed to go was, what is Asia? But they couldn't do it because
of the Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL.
Right.
Asia. We'll take famous titties for 500. That's titles, Mr. Connery.
Not anymore.
This movie is based on the book Gone with the Wind. Dolly Parton!
Saber begins with a bloody S.
We're so off track, I love it. Yes, I'm so sorry about the random Saturday Night Live thing, but like
no,
I said,
that's
That's a gift.
We have 20 more minutes of time to fill, so...
Fantastic. Do we have more questions, Caleb?
We do have more questions, but Kyle didn't get a chance to answer what he's done so far.
We don't have to, like, riff on Saturday Night Live for 20 minutes, because
we could, though, because that would be a lot of fun.
We totally could.
I went to a bunch of talks.
You two kind of did the same thing. You did the talk thing.
Yes, I did the talk thing.
I asked you to do other things other than the talk thing as well.
Other things other than the talk thing.
I gave them some tasks beforehand.
I did some wandering of the mezzanine.
That's cool.
Part of the thing was that, like, the two big activities on the mezzanine were the lockpicking and the soldering, both of which I was really resistant to trying just because I have very poor hand-eye coordination and a little bit of a tremor in my hands. And so I was kind of hesitant to really give either of those a shot. But I did some wandering around and trying to take in the atmosphere and a little bit of talking to random people and that sort of thing. You know, I tried not to be a completely socially withdrawn person.
Excellent. So, general impressions of the con now that you have been here?
There's so much joy here. Everybody is...
I'm beaming right now.
I can see that.
Yes, but Radioland can't see that. That's why I'm saying
it. IRC can.
IRC can? Okay, so there's like a random webcam here, and I have no idea how to see it or how to get to it. All I know is it's there.
If the stream is happening.
If the stream is even happening.
If the stream is happening.
The little green light's on. I see Mixer.
We do see the recording. And there's like 1 second delay.
Oh, crap, there is. You're right. I didn't notice until you said something.
Whoa! No, I noticed it when we first got in here because I, like, stuck my tongue out for a second, and then it happened later. But no, the truth is, I know there are people who are in this room, who are in this hotel, who are on this floor, who only see each other once every 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or...
That's the way most of my friends are here, actually.
Or less frequently than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I know that there is someone who's here who hasn't been here in... 6 years. Who has been here for about 3 homes.
Yeah.
So to see people reuniting.
You're talking about Murdoch.
I am talking about
Murdoch. I thought you were talking about Murdoch.
I was talking about Murdoch.
Yes.
So to see.
I'm just talking about Murdoch. Shut your mouth.
So, like, to get to see people reuniting, to see people meeting, to see people interacting, and, you know, people talk here like they've known each other forever, and in some cases I know they have, and in some cases I know that they're meeting each other for the first time. And there's a lot of curiosity in the air. There's a lot of excitement in the air. And it's a really wonderful thing to see. Also, might I add, yesterday afternoon, I was upstairs getting ready to go to a talk. And the tour talk was going to start in the Nuther room. Nuther.
The Nuther regions.
The N room.
And they had scheduled it for that room a long time ago. And then a lot of people said they wanted to go to that talk.
Yeah.
And it was the most orderly line I have ever seen in New York City.
Really? Because, like, I work, to those who don't know, I also work security at the con. And trying to get these folks in line sometimes is like herding cats.
So, the line stretch from the door of that room down the hallway into the overflow section between Friedman and Lamar and looped around that room.
Wow.
And it was, I'm telling you, it was the most orderly line I've ever seen in New York City.
Either peeps were, like, being good or security was really kicking ass at their job, or both.
Or both. So kudos to everyone who was waiting to get into the tour talk yesterday morning. I noticed, I observed things. I used to be a teacher, and I used to work with middle school and high school students. So I noticed things like this. I was very, very impressed. But no, everybody has been... It's a very open situation, and also the fact that you can introduce yourself by your online handle or by your name or both, that's really cool. There's a certain amount of freedom in how you present here, which is also just really exciting, I think.
I was definitely struck by how friendly, how genial and welcoming the atmosphere was. I definitely wasn't sure about that beforehand, and so that was a really pleasant surprise. I think... I think I've also been surprised in some ways at, like, how low-tech some of it is. I mean...
Interesting.
You know, you hear HackerCon and you expect everything to be, you know, super bleeding edge, techno-y, state of the art, and instead it's all cardboard and Sharpies and blue tape.
That is very accurate, and that's something I don't think anyone's ever actually found out.
There's so much of it that's very ad hoc and some on of
it's,
the fly.
I think, yeah, because it's last minute, you know? People get good ideas while they're here, and then they make them happen.
They're hacking the hackers.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think I mentioned yesterday to someone as I was working security shift and sitting and being like, we need an official bulletin board spot. We need to take a section of wall, like it off in blue tape, and be like, put flyers here. Not that you can't put them up anywhere else, but that everyone will definitely put, if they want you to know something, they will put it there.
Yeah.
And I know that Infodesk kind of tries to do that, but it's just not, it's not enough. It's not big enough.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a really great idea so that, you know, there's a place that anytime anything would change or anytime anybody would want to advertise something, that it would definitely at least be there so that you know you could get all the info at once.
Like there could be a bulletin board on an easel.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Something like that.
And
it, but it's amazing how off, you're right, how offline it is. Because, you know, there's not really some spot online to do that. Twitter-ish, like, I don't do Twitter, like, after the con, I'm going to stop looking at my Twitter for 2 years, so please don't ping me on Twitter, because I don't do Twitter anymore.
You're just trying to follow me on Twitter, and now you're going to go away?
Yes.
No, it's fine. I'll get past it.
You have my phone number.
I do. And your email address.
You know how to reach me.
I do.
Definitely. But, you know, I mean, the only time I really use Twitter is at HackerCons, because everything happens on Twitter, so... But, like, there's no real online place to do that. But you're right. It is a very ad hoc-y kind of blue tape as I'm looking. To those who don't know, the Radio Statler booth is an actual booth. Now, I've watched Radio Statler from the beginning because they didn't have it when I first started coming. And I've watched them perfect this process.
This
one is the best I've seen so far, and it looks great. It is just, like, foam board. I don't know how thick. Quarter inch, half inch thick. And it is taped up as walls around a set of pillars here. And they made a sliding door mechanism, which is amazing. I'm so impressed. But, you know, they do it to keep the sound out. So they kind of trying to make a soundproof as possible studio. And, of course, everybody draws all over it in Sharpie and puts penises up everywhere because that's what people do. But, and a little Raspberry Pi logo.
Which is the Raspberry Pi logo?
That would be directly behind you, Gila. Where it says, Bunny was fucking here, bitches, right to the left of it, that little collection of little circles on each other.
That looks like a raspberry?
That's kind of vaguely look like, I assume that was supposed to be the Raspberry Pi logo.
Okay.
On its side, I assumed. I could be totally wrong.
Okay, so this is going to be a show of my ignorance. A Raspberry Pi is a little, like, computer-type device that you can teach to do things, right?
Okay, so, like, this isn't my big thing. But yes, you can, but... what I think you're thinking of more is an Arduino.
Okay.
An Arduino is more of the little computer type device that you can like really teach to do things. Raspberry Pi is more of a tiny little full computer, but in a small space. And yes, you can teach it to do things, but like it'll run full on Linux.
Okay.
And it's like gaming.
People use them for like media centers and stuff.
And you can
like that.
Plug it in the wall, and it's like, fit, and you can fit in your pocket. So
okay,
like,
because I was really aiming for a Prince joke, because if you could like, you know, I've seen things that like you can make stuff light up with an Arduino or whatever, and if you had like a hat that ran on Raspberry Pi, it would be a Raspberry Beret, and that would be really exciting. But apparently, I have messed up my hardware, and therefore the joke is not going to work. So let's just
you could
move
make
on.
A Raspberry Prey out of a Raspberry Pi.
Thank you.
You could definitely.
Thank you.
Definitely.
But yes, let's just move on from the smoldering ashes of my joke.
No, that's fine. That is totally fine. Kyle thought it was cute.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Prince fan. We were together when he passed on. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that. Let's see here. So, what is like you expected, and what's different? What's surprising you?
I think I slept more than I expected.
I think we all slept more than we expected.
Not everybody slept more than they expected.
Say, me, like, you know, who was like, I'm going to party at least one night. I didn't party any of the nights. I was just like, nope. Tonight, when the con's over, it's going to be like, party time!
Oh, it's going to go down.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's, Jesus,
it's
yes.
It's going to go down. But, no, because I think ultimately I had very few expectations coming in. I was, you know?
I also slept more than I was expecting. I'm in the middle of changing medications, and I recently started a new job that's taking a lot out of me, in particular the commute, because it's on the opposite side of the beltway from me. Not
Anyone
very much
who lives
fun.
In D.C. understands the importance of
yes.
this statement.
Yes. But again, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised by the warmth and openness of it. I was surprised by how sort of low-tech and ad hoc and improvisational a lot of it is. I was worried that I might feel uncomfortable and like I didn't fit in, but I haven't felt that way at all. Occasionally we get into tech stuff that's a bit above my head, but in general, I've gotten a lot out of the various talks that I've been to and stuff like that.
Excellent. So have you all had any negative experiences? Anything you'd like to complain about?
Okay, can we just talk about how perfect God, that
Are there MAGFest people
they
here?
They were just doing the MAGFest yell.
I don't know who these people are, but we need to go find them.
Okay.
Wow.
Whoever
did that, just report to the Radio Statler booth. Please.
Yes, yes, please.
If you roared or whatever that was.
If you can hear us and you did the, what's
that
it called,
was,
Kyle?
That was Colossus's super move charge whatever from X-Men from Marvel versus Capcom. It's
a meme at MAGFest now, if you've ever been to MAGFest.
There's a con called MAGFest. It's all about music and video games, and
it's awesome.
The Colossus roar is a thing that started at one of the early MAGFests and is now like the thing that people do.
It's ridiculous.
You say hello.
And once you hear that's it starts spreading people. Throughout the halls. And then it's just this wave of this.
So again, if you were the one
if
who
you
roared,
just listened on if headphones, you were, I apologize. If,
thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry.
If you were the one who roared,
please.
If you can hear us.
Come to Radio Statler.
If you can hear us and you roared, please come to Radio Statler as soon as you humanly possibly can.
Yes.
So the question was
complaints. Yes. Anything you didn't like? Anything negative? Anything that you?
I think
the elevator got a little stanky this year.
Yes. There were some issues like there are at many cons with proper deodorizing.
If I may hop in as like the, you know, the con non-newbie here, like, I've been to many of these cons, and I've been to many of other different types of cons, and the whole thing about stanky con people is, like, I always thought it was more of just, like, a myth, like an urban legend. Not this year, and usually you guys aren't like this, and I realize it was really hot out this year, guys, I get it, but, don't try. I mean, I understand you want to save money by not having a room, but make a friend to let you take a shower. And, like, deodorant is our friend. And I understand that, like, some of this stuff can be difficult for some of us, and that we need to make a culture where it's people can be open to be like, okay, can you help teach me about this, like, hygiene thing?
Right.
So, like, we can learn and without shame. And that's awesome, you know?
But I think my biggest issue, and I understand, you know, hope and the Hotel Pennsylvania. Oh, I just realized Hope, H-O-P-E, Hotel Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. It took me a couple of years to figure that out. Don't feel bad.
I heard it on Off the Hook. That was the only reason.
I understand there's, you know, a deep historical and sentimental attachment to the location, that they're basically inseparable. The problem is, though, that I think the sheer number of people is getting to be a bit much for the amount of space that they have. I think pretty much every single talk that I've been to has, like, overflowed out into the hallway.
That is unusual for this year. It usually isn't quite that bad. This year they sold out. Other years they don't always sell out. So this is, if this starts to be a pattern, then...
Yeah, so that was my biggest annoyance, is just how crowded some of the talks have been and stuff like that.
I mean, part of the problem is also, where are you going to get an affordable hotel with this much space in this midtown Manhattan?
I understand. Know, like... That is a major issue, but I feel like, you know, if cons grow and cons...
Well, they do have a cutoff. But if it's going to keep getting bigger and they are going to keep hitting things, then... Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I'm thinking... okay, there was... I'm thinking. I don't know. There was one moment where there were two talks that I wanted to go to that were scheduled at the same time. But
what's nice about that is you can then watch them on exactly. video afterwards. Exactly. Because they release the audio first and then they release the video later.
Yeah, so I mean, if that's the biggest issue I
yeah,
had,
right?
I consider that a successful weekend. No, I mean, I think it was lovely. I do think that the more we can do to disseminate the 5-2-1 rule, the better off the world will be. The 5-2-1 rule, which was introduced to me months ago, being the way to survive an event like this is to make sure you get 5 hours of sleep, 2 square meals, and 1 shower every day.
If yep.
you feel free to expand on those numbers, but not to take anything away.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the more we can do to make that...
Part of the culture.
Like, I don't know. Maybe that can be on the badges in 2018.
There's an idea.
I'm just thinking... If, you know,
maybe
logo designers.
Hope used to have a forum, talk.hope.net. Yes. It is now extinct, which is sad because I used to participate a lot. And if we had some kind of place where we could plan things in advance and discuss things and stuff, and we could have an area for, like, maybe on the back, something for, like, con newbies and teach them how, you know, things that they're going to need at cons and
yes.
stuff like that. That is a definite place we can disseminate said forms of information.
Coming in on my first... This is, like I said, my first time. And coming in with the kind of access I had to information about the event and to information about 2600 and about the history of Hope and everything. Like, yes, I feel like I definitely had a leg up knowing what was going to go on. And having met some people beforehand, and having been in touch with other people beforehand, and all of those things. But yeah, I feel like if there's a way to, like, help newbies network before the con starts, all to the better. And, you know, beyond coming to 2600 meetings, and beyond... no, that's really the entire sentence. But yeah, find ways to find people who are going to be here, and then meet them, and it's very exciting.
Or at very least have like a meet and greet mixer type thing on like
something, or if there's a way
Friday.
If there's a way to,
or
like
Thursday night even,
to tag the newbies, if there's a way to either color code the newbies in some way or give them a
or
sticker,
let them opt in to choose to use a sticker or something.
Right, like so at registration, if there's a, you know, a sticker that's like kiss me, it's my first hope or whatever. I mean, that would obviously require a certain amount of consent, but
yes.
You know, I'm new here.
Noob.
Or something, you know, just so that people can say, oh, well, that, fantastic. So then, you know, you can say, oh, I'm not just going to say it's on the mezzanine. I'm not just going to say find this, because this is where that is. This is what that is. And while I'm given to understand that the names of the rooms on the 18th floor change every year, and big shout out to the core staff for naming them after four women this year. That was awesome. Way to go, guys. I mean, guys is a collective noun, not necessarily guys men. I just want to make sure I'm very clear on that. I want to thank
folks.
I want to thank you folks for, you know, that was just a really cool thing to see. And also that one of them was Hedy Lamarr, which is also really freaking cool.
You had Lamarr this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lamar's the big room.
Oh, I haven't been in the big room yet. That'd be why.
Yeah, and it's named after Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr is the shiznit.
Hedley is what I've been saying all weekend. Hedley. Yes. That's Hedley. Yeah. I think if there's a way to like institutionally support the new people.
Well, what's cool about Hope is that if you want something to happen, you can make it happen yourself too.
It's true. I might print up stickers.
There you go.
So the other thing I was kind of disappointed with is that I was really looking forward to the retro computing
yes.
area, and then I got there
him.
And it was a single empty table, barren of life. It was of
original Macs.
Yes, of
I
Macintosh
promised.
Pluses.
Oh,
if I.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because this is just something I'm curious about. I'm not saying it's a complaint. I'm not disappointed. I'm just curious. Phonehenge. The fuck is Phonehenge?
I forgot about Phonehenge.
Because we hung the signs for Phonehenge, and there's nothing there.
Okay. Phonehenge, at least years ago, they had a whole setup with a whole bunch of pay phones and other types of phones, and someone had, like, dumpster dove, like, a phone switching system out of like the garbage. Everything that we had there was all just like thrown out junk that we turned into like a phone switching system and hooked it up, and anyone could make a free phone call anywhere they wanted in the United States. And this was before, like, I mean, this was probably mid-2000s and maybe like 2010. But also what you could do is, because it had things, you could, if you hit, like, you know, you pick up and there'd be like an operator,
yeah.
And it'd be like, hit, you know, 7 to anonymize where your call is coming from. And you could hit like 7 and then it would be like, okay, what is the number you were calling? What is the number you wanted to look like you're calling from? So like, I called my mother and made my caller ID look like the White House.
Okay, that's awesome.
Like, yeah, it was pretty cool. Because that's a really simple thing to do on a phone switching thing. Like, who your number comes from, you can change. Like, really, really simple.
That's
so you can make yourself look like you're anybody on caller ID.
You could theoretically, like, I could make a phone call to my parents from the number of the house we lived in that we moved out of when I was 8 years old.
Yeah, any number.
Well, then why isn't there Phonehenge this year, people?
I made phone calls to like everybody, like my parents and stuff, and just all the long distance folks. We have about a minute left. Any last thoughts? Any ideas for the future? Anything that you want to talk about?
Apart from the I'm new here stickers.
Apart from the I'm new here stickers.
I'm new here stickers. Gosh.
I'm definitely hoping to be able to come back next time around. I'm hoping to be able to do more stuff. I was a little hesitant this time around, being, you know, kind of withdrawn and introverted, but I want to jump in the deep end a bit more next time around.
I had a great time. I had a great, great time. And, you know, that I know has a lot to do with people who welcomed me so warmly, not for a moment discounting the people sitting at this very table right now. It's been a pleasure getting to know you guys this weekend.
Thank you. Full disclosure, we happen to all be rooming together.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to find some other folks, too, but this is who we got. So, I will say it is now 3 p.m.
Okay.
It is now 3 p.m., and I'd like to thank all of our listeners. I would like to thank Gila and Kyle for joining us. And our next presentation should be up shortly. Thank you very much, Radio Statler, signing off.